They need to build Craig Allred like a big building just to do all the ERs for the whole country or world. Getting back to TailorRx, can you talk a little bit about the design of the study and the flow of how patients track into it?
Sure. So the study, again, is targeting patients who have estrogen receptor positive, axillary lymph node negative breast cancer up to age 75, who would be acceptable candidates for chemotherapy. The tumor must be at least 1.1 centimeter in size, or could be between 6 millimeters and 11 millimeters if there are unfavorable histologic features, such as intermediate poor nuclear grade or lymphovascular invasion. They must also have disease that's HER2 negative, as determined by their local laboratory, and that's defined as being either FISH negative or 0 or 1 plus by the DACO Herceptin test or other FDA-approved tests. And of course, they have to have a life expectancy of at least 10 years because we're looking at 10-year outcomes. So patients have significant comorbid medical conditions such as COPD or significant heart disease or liver disease, et cetera, they're not eligible. And of course, once again, they need to be acceptable candidates for chemotherapy, and the patients need to agree in principle to receive chemotherapy.
Well, I guess the other thing is they need to agree to receive it based on the flow of the Oncotype
result. Right.
So they need to learn about what Oncotype is, what the results mean, and what's going to happen.
But even before you get to that point, you need to have a conversation with the patient about what the recommendations would be based on the clinical features, that chemotherapy would be part of those recommendations, and have a discussion with them about whether chemotherapy would be an acceptable option to them. If it is, then having a discussion about the test and about the trial would be the next step.
So the patient gets the test done, and then if the recurrence score is high, they're going to get chemo. Is it any type of chemo, or is it specified?
The physician can choose from a range of standard chemotherapy regimens that's in the protocol. They're generally consistent with NCCN guidelines, and they do also now include taxotere cyclophosphamide as an option.
Interesting.
In addition, they can also enroll on another CTSU trial as long as the TailorX assigned treatment is consistent with the trial that they're enrolling on.
Right. And then those patients obviously are not randomized, but you're going to follow them to sort of see what happens?
Yes. It's critical to follow those patients and collect long-term information, because one of the other things that we're doing in the trials, we're banking tumor specimens and peripheral blood specimens so that we can evaluate other molecular diagnostic tests as they evolve over the next 5 or 10 years without having to repeat this entire exercise.
Yeah, it's so awesome, man. I wish we could have been doing this 10 years ago. But anyhow, okay, so the lower risk people then just get hormone therapy.
They're assigned to hormonal therapy.
Again, physician choice within the usual parameters.
Exactly.
And then the key is the intermediate group that get randomized to chemo or not.
Right. And this is defined a little differently than in the original descriptions by Genomic Health and NSABP. Here, we're targeting patients with a recurrence score of 11 to 25 that will be randomized to either chemotherapy plus hormonal therapy, which we're considering the standard treatment arm, because patients didn't have the test and didn't enroll in a trial. That's what their oncologist would be recommending to them, versus hormonal therapy alone, which is considered the experimental arm. And it's designed as a non-inferiority trial. So, in other words, it's designed with the assumption that the chemotherapy is a standard, and it's powered to detect up to a 3%, or I should say a 3% or greater reduction in disease-free survival by the omission of chemotherapy.
And when did the trial start accruing patients, and how many have been accrued?
The trial was activated in April of 2006, so it's been open for about 6 months now. It's active at somewhere in the range of about 600 sites throughout the U.S., and thus far about 300 patients have enrolled. It's enrolling currently at a rate of about 20 to 30 patients per week.
How do you see this sort of falling out, and how has it fallen out in practice in terms of how people receive it? It's been a while. To me, it seems like it's been a while since we've done a chemo versus no chemo randomization in breast cancer. How is that sitting with people?
Well, that was a major concern of mine, that the field is littered with failed attempts to do trials, at least within the last 10 or 15 years, randomizing patients to chemo versus no chemo. And I had significant concerns about that, but that does not seem to be the case in this trial. It seems to be well accepted by physicians, as evidenced by the tremendous number of sites that have activated the trial, and I think also by patients, as evidenced by the accrual that we've seen thus far. In addition, there's been significant patient advocate input into the design of the trial, as represented by various organizations at multiple levels. And in fact, there were focus groups that were done very early on that solicited feedback not only from patient advocates but also non-advocate breast cancer patients regarding the test and the trial design.